This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Amma ba'd, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our first beautiful name of Allah's beautiful names in tonight's episode is Al-Kabir. And everybody knows this name, and we frequently repeat it. It is incomparably great. And Allah says in the Quran, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتَعَالِ. He is knower of the unseen and the witnessed, the grand, the exalted. He's the grand. And Allah also says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. And because Allah is the Most High, the Grand. So, Kabir refers to Allah Azza wa Jal as everything else is below Him and underneath Him, in the sense that nothing is compared to His greatness, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And He's greater than everything. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Adi ibn Hatim, may Allah be pleased with him, when he came to meet the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and asking security from the Prophet, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam met him in his own house and honored him because he was a tribe's leader. And he asked him two straight questions. So he said to him, what makes you run away from La ilaha illallah, from the word there's no God worthy of being worshipped other than Allah? Do you know any God other than Allah? Adi said, no. Then the Prophet asked him this question, what makes you run away from saying Allahu Akbar? Allah is the greatest, Allah is great. Do you know anything that is bigger, that is greater than Allah Azza wa Jal? And this is what most Muslims fail to convey to others. When we speak to them, some of us quote quotations from the Bible, from here and there, not addressing the issue of Tawheed directly, heads on. Allahu Akbar is said in so many things. We say it in the Adhan a great number of times. We say it in the Adhkar after the prayer. We say it before we go to bed. We say it as form of the Adhkar of the morning and the evening, certain Adhkars. So we often say it even during the prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We say it more than 300 times a day, which shows you how firm it is in the believer's heart that there is nothing greater, nothing more majestic than Allah Azza wa Jal. And everything is small compared to Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this draws us to the second name with us today, which is as magnificent, which is as beautiful. So Al-Kabir, we know what it means. The following name is Al-Azim. And this is the tremendous one, the magnificent one. Allah says in the Quran, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and He is the Most High, the Most Great. So they translated here Al-Azim into great. And it's also the magnificent one. Al-Imam Al-Sa'di says, Al-Azim encompasses all beautiful attributes of greatness, of pride, of glory, of majesty. Al-Azim is the one that all hearts love and all souls turn to. And all those who know Allah know that He's greater than all what they know. Part of believing in this beautiful name, Al-Azim, is that you respect what Allah Azza wa Jal ordered us to respect and to glorify what Allah Azza wa Jal ordered us to glorify. Part of believing in Al-Azim, that you do not disobey Him and that you remember Him without forgetting Him and that you thank Him without disbelieving in His bounties and favors. Part of believing in the name Al-Azim is that you respect the times, the locations that Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to respect. Allah says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That is so. And whoever honors the symbols, the rites of Allah, indeed it is from the piety of the hearts. And also Allah says, what translates to that has been commanded. And whoever honors the sacred ordinances of Allah, it is best for him in the sight of the Lord. So this form of ta'zeem comes from the name of Al-Azeem. Part of believing in this beautiful name, Al-Azeem, that you do not object to whatever He has legislated or that He had created or preordained upon you. You have full content and acceptance to Allah's religion. Otherwise, you would not be believing in the name Al-Azeem. Al-Kabir, Al-Azeem, and the third name is Al-Qawi. The one perfect in strength and ability, Al-Qawi. Allah says, فَكَفَرُوا فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُ قَوِيٌّ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. So Allah sees them. Indeed, He is powerful and severe in punishment. No one doubts Allah's power. When Allah decrees something, nothing can stand in His way. If Allah Azza wa Jal wills a calamity or tribulation, nothing can stand in its way. Can anybody prevent a volcano from happening? Or an earthquake? Or a tsunami? Or whatever? When these things come, this is the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal that no one can stand in its way because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one with the perfect strength and ability. Imam al-Tabari says, part of Allah's name, Al-Qawi, that no one can stand in His way. No one can stand in His power. No one can defend himself from His wrath and anger. Whatever He decrees takes place. And whenever He wants to torment a people, it would take place without any stopping. And Allah Azza wa Jal is not as we think of ourselves as being powerful. So we have humans who claim to be the strongest man on earth. They are strong. They think of themselves as powerful. Their power is limited. Their power is temporary. Look at those who were Mr. Universe or Mr. Olympia for so many years. What had happened to them at the moment? You can't even look at them. Allah's power cannot be defeated. Allah's strength cannot ever weaken. Allah Azza wa Jal is the ultimate in power, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Qawi is similar in meaning to Al-Mateen, which is the fourth name with us today. Al-Mateen is stronger in power. And some scholars make a distinction. So they say, Al-Qawi is with ability. So you can be able to do things, but you're not strong. And al-qawi has to be able and strong at the same time. Al-mateen is something that is of a higher level, the mighty in strength or the strong. So he's the one who never gets tired and nothing is difficult for him and his power never ends. So this is very similar to al-qawi, but as I said, there is a difference, a slight, delicate difference between them. Nevertheless, they all describe Allah Azza wa Jal, and they all are all part of His beautiful names. The following name is Al-Majid. And Al-Majid is the one perfect in glory and honor. And it is stemmed from the noun Al-Majd, glory. So Al-Majid is the one with glory. Allah says in the Quran, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. We went through these two beautiful names, Al-Ghafoor and Al-Wadood. ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ. And He is the forgiving and the affectionate, honorable, owner of the throne. So Allah is the one with honor, the honorable one. Ibn al-Qayyim says, Allah described Himself to be Al-Majid. And this means that all attributes of perfection, which humans cannot comprehend or calculate or count, due to the abundance of Allah's favors and blessings and actions and continuous goodness that comes to us. Therefore, He is Al-Majid, the one who is the effector of what He intends. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Nothing stands against Allah's will. And this is why He is Al-Majid subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Majd, glory, is what Arabs use to describe anything that has a lot of goodness in it, a lot of honor and attributes of perfection. And usually the best to associate with this beautiful name is Al-Hamid. So Al-Hamid, Al-Majid, Al-Majid, Al-Hamid. To associate both together usually is found in the Quran. Allah says, when the angels came to the house of Ibrahim, peace be upon him, they said, Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt, innahu Hamidun Majid. May the mercy of Allah and His blessings be upon you, people of the house. Indeed, He is praiseworthy and honorable. Hamid, Majid. Also, we are told to use this when we offer the salutation of Ibrahim at the end of the Salat. Innahu Hamidun Majid. And we say this every single Salat. And also, after you rise from ruku', you say, Rabbana wa laka alhamd. أهل الثناء والمجد, the one worthy of being praised and glorified with greatness. So, الحمد والمجد, الحميد and المجيد, they are always associated together because they encompass all beautiful description of perfections that can only be used with Allah the Almighty. The following three names are very close in meaning, but they're used separately in the Quran. So we have Al-Ali, Al-A'la, Al-Muta'al. And they all refer to the high, the exalted. So Al-Ali is the exalted one. Al-A'la is the most high. Al-Muta'al is the supreme and exalted one. And these names were mentioned in the Quran. For example, Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيِّ الْكَبِيرِ. Al-Ali. So Allah is the exalted and most high, the grand. And also Allah says in the surah that we hear every single Friday and in Eid prayers, and we read in Witr, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Exalt the name of your Lord, the Most High, Al-A'la. And Allah says, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتَعَالِ. He is knower of the unseen and the witnessed, the grand, the exalted. So all of these names, Al-Ali, Al-A'la, Al-Muta'al, refer to the fact that Allah is above everything. So He is the Most High. Nothing is above Allah Azza wa Jal. And also it refers to Allah's strength and power, and that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that has control over everything, has subdued everything. There is no God worthy of being worshipped except Him. There is no one, nothing greater than Him. He is the Most High, that no one is higher than Him. He is the Great, that no one is greater than Him. And this is why we always defend our Lord, praise Him from any flaws or shortcomings or bad description the enemies of Allah may attribute to Him. And when we say that Allah is the Most High, this is referring to three types of elevation and height, as the scholars say. عُلُوُ الذَّات وَعُلُوُ الصِّفَات وَعُلُوُ الْقَهْرِ. So this translates into exalted in His essence. So Allah Azza wa Jal is above His throne. Nothing is above Him. So this is talking about Allah's essence, about the that. And then when we talk about exalted in His attributes, as you have seen, all of His beautiful names are the ultimate and the perfection in names and attributes. Nothing can exceed Allah Azza wa Jal or beat that. And thirdly, we have exalted in the sense of prevailing and controlling. So Allah is the Most High, controlling everything. Nothing can come out of Allah's control. Nothing can happen without Allah's will or preordainment. Everything is under Allah's control, Azza wa Jal, and His knowledge. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, we're going to talk about the book, Interactions of the Greatest Leader. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trained his companions to be modest. Hakim bin Hizam, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I asked the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave me, then I asked him another two times, and each time he gave me. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told me, O Hakim, this life is green and beautiful. So whoever takes it without greed or persisting on asking for it will have blessing in it. And whoever takes it while making it close to their heart will not have blessing in it. They will be like the one who eats without becoming full. The hand that is higher, giving the poor, is better than the one that is lower, receiving from others. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, by Him who has sent you with the truth, I will never ask anyone for money until I die. Afterwards, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, called Hakim, may Allah be pleased with him, in order to give him, but he refused to take. And the same with Umar. So Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Muslims, you are my witness that I have offered some of this booty to Hakim, but he refused to take it. Hakim did not take money from anyone after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until he died. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Taymur from the UK.
Assalamu alaikum.
Shantallah.
My question is regarding the Eid prayer. I know it's like not recommended to offer the Eid prayer in the mosque. You have to offer the Eid prayer outside, like in the open. What if there's no space to open to offer the prayer outside, and you only can offer it in the mosque? What's the ruling on this?
Okay, I'll answer you, inshallah. Abdullah from Spain, wajazak.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Samtullah.
I would like to ask, this morning I had a discharge and when I woke up, I saw like a spot, it was like 2 centimeters of diameter and it was like small and I thought it might be not many. And however, I didn't smell it. And then I waited for 2 hours. And when I went to smell it, I wanted to smell if it was pollen, like one of the characteristics of semen, the spot had gone. It wasn't there. I couldn't see it. And so I just thought it must be Mehdi. What should I do?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. Ruqayya from Malaysia. Ruqayya.
Now, I have a question that I heard before that you have online universities. So if it is right, can I get any contact about that?
I did not understand your question.
I heard that you have online universities.
What?
You have online universities.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Can you speak a little bit slower, Ruqayya?
Online university.
I don't know what you're talking about. I apologize. Muhammad from America.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salamatullah.
Sheikh, my question is, in my local mosque in the US, on Friday they have 2 mosques, the first one and second one. Also during the evening,
I will answer inshallah. We have Faizan from India. Salamu alaikum, Sheikh. Salamu alaikum.
أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. This dua, when do we say it? How many times? Is it part of morning and evening adhkar? And does it protect against insect stings?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. And Abdul Aziz from Sri Lanka.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
Sheikh, my question is, Sheikh, I'm 20 years old this year, and Sheikh, I have a job, but I don't get paid enough to the extent that I'm able to get married. But Sheikh, I have a desire to get married, so is there something I can do to build my wealth to get married, Sheikh, apart from making dua, Sheikh?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. Latifa from the U.S. Okay, I think we've lost Latifa. Osama from Pakistan.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
Sheikh, I have one question. What is the difference between Fitrana and Zikah? Can you just explain me about how
okay.
much we have to pay with
that? I will answer you, inshallah. And we have Latifa from the U.S.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
So I have a question. I know of a sister who works at like a Islamic store where they sell clothing. So, and she got worried about the woman clothes having like an eye-catching design. And she was hesitant to like give the woman clothes. And the woman said no, that she's not wearing outside. She's like trying to wear some dress. In this case, she doesn't know what they're going to need the clothes for. Is it permissible for her to like sell the clothes?
Okay. And we have Mahfoud from Indonesia.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salamatullah.
Sheikh, regarding itikaf, because currently some of the masjids here, they are closed because of the COVID-19. So can we do itikaf at home, Sheikh? Jazakallah khair.
Wa jazak. And we have Zainuddin from UK, or, yeah.
Sheikh?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salamatullah.
I wanted to ask on the ruling, I heard there was a statement from one of the so-called Islamic thinkers that says that when you see a woman who looks beautiful and you gaze at her and say subhanallah, and this gaze would turn into good deeds. So what's the basis on this?
Okay. And we have Shihab from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
Sheikh, you said that if the people in the masjid after prayer, they do dua in congregation or recite last three verses of Surah Hashar in congregation, you say that don't take part with them and leave the masjid. But if I want to pray the Ishraq or do want to do zikr in the masjid, so can I sit there and just not take part with them, or I have to leave the masjid?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. Abu Hafs from Bangladesh. Shaykh.
Shaykh, congregational prayer is prayed in our masjid after midnight. The imam leads the Isha and the entire Taraweeh alone. Then he leaves and the muadzin takes his place and leads the witr salah in the Hanafi way. Later on, after midnight, the imam leads the qiyamul layl and finishes it by leading the witr salah in the sunnah way. Should we avoid praying the witr behind the muadzin if we want to pray the witr behind the imam after tahajjud? What would be the most rewarding scenario, Sheikh?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. Saeed from Qatar.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought you've already taken my question, Sheikh.
No, I didn't. I didn't hear your question, Akhi.
Okay, when we make wudu, sometimes I've seen people put rinse their mouth separate and nose separate, and sometimes they rinse their mouth and nose together with one scoop of water. Which one is authentic and correct, please?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. And we have Abdul Aziz from the UK.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Shantullah.
Sheikh, my question is probably one in a million, but yeah, it's a very succinct one. It's just about the plans for your da'wah, you know. And when you start visiting, you know, countries and venues again to, you know, give live lectures and stuff. And if you'll be visiting the UK too, Jazakumullah khairan.
I did not get your question. Are you inviting me to the UK?
No, I'm not sure. No, it's about your plans. If you'll be going there, if you, when you're going to start giving, you know, live lectures again, and when you'll start visiting countries and venues, and the UK in particular.
Okay, I will answer you, inshallah. Finally, Omar from the U.S. Omar?
Assalamu alaikum.
Salamatullah.
Sheikh, how do I become more patient when I'm dealing with situations?
How to become more patient?
Yeah, when dealing with, like, family, friends, when...
Okay, I will answer inshallah. So Taimur from the UK says that in the masjid, they usually have two Eid salats. No, that was the other Muhammad from the US. Taimur says that in the UK, It's rare that you would find a place in the open to conduct Eid Salat. So if there aren't any open plazas for us, or it was raining, or it was anything of the sort, and there is only the masjid to perform it, can we perform it in the masjid? The answer is yes, there is nothing wrong in that. It's against the sunnah, but the prayer is valid, inshallah, and it's better than not praying. Abdullah from Spain, he's doubtful whether he had an external emission or not. And when he checked, he saw a drop or two, and he waited a while to go and check it again, but it disappeared. So he doesn't know what to do. Well, if it's not there, it doesn't exist. Maybe it was your imagination, because semen becomes hard and you can touch it, you can feel it, unlike prosthetic fluid or madhi. Madhi is not that hard, you cannot feel it. But many or semen becomes hard, it becomes like a layer that you can touch it. So if it's not there, then you don't have to perform ghusl. Muhammad from the US says, the masjid next to our home, they pray the Jumu'ah twice, they pray the Eid twice. We've mentioned before that the scholars say that it is not permissible to perform Friday twice in the same masjid. And this is the vast majority of Muslims, and this is what the major council of scholars in Saudi Arabia give the fatwa upon. So you should only pray with the first Jama'ah. As for the Eid, it should take the same ruling. And if not, there is a lot of space for people to attend, they can pray outside, and it won't take more than 5 to 10 minutes, and Allah knows best. Faizan from India, he says, A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. Is it part of the adhkar of the morning and the evening? The answer is yes. How many times? We repeat it 3 times in the morning and 3 times in the evening. Abdulaziz from Sri Lanka, he says, he's 20 years old, he wants to get married, he cannot afford it. What to do? The Prophet said, alayhi sallam, that you should get married if you're physically and financially capable. If not, then you have to fast. So fasting is the recommendation of the Prophet, alayhi sallatu wasalam. And meanwhile, you have to try and work hard, find a better income, look for a woman who would accept marrying you while compromising many of the things that young women may not compromise. So you may find someone who's your age or 5 years older or 10 years older who's willing to marry without a lavish wedding or a lot of conditions that would be a burden on your shoulders. And this would protect you from fitna, inshallah. Usama from Pakistan says, what's the difference between fitrana and zakat? Fitra, or zakatul fitr, or sadaqatul fitr, is a specific amount of food to be given prior to the day of Eid. And it should be 1 or 2 nights before Eid. So on the 28th or the 29th, you can give it to the poor. And the size of it is well defined, and it is not in accordance to your income or your savings. So the Prophet, as in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with them and others, he prescribed that zakatul fitr to be given out from staple food, the size of one sa'. And the sa' is a means of measurement, a unit of measurement by size and not by weight. So if you bring 2.125 kilograms of rice and put it in a vessel, this vessel becomes a sa'. Empty it and you can put in it dates, barley, wheat, raisin, whatever that can fit in that vessel. And you can give it to the poor a day or two before Eid. Most importantly, before the Eid Salat, because after Eid Salat, it's over. The time is gone. Zakat, normally speaking, this is a pillar of Islam. And by the way, this Zakat al-Fitr, or Fitrana as you guys call it in Urdu, Zakat al-Fitr is to be given one sa', the measurement that I have just mentioned, upon every individual or slave, a free man or slave, man or woman, young or old. It should be given upon Muslims only. So if I have 10 people living in my home and I'm the breadwinner, I give the zakat for 11, me included with them, so that's 11, and so on. Zakat, which is a pillar of Islam, is a different ball game altogether, because it is a percentage depending on the type of the wealth. So there is zakat on livestock. Camels are different from cows, from different from sheep, with conditions that it is grazing, not being fed by me. Then we have zakat on crops that come up off the ground. And by that we talk about grains, dates, raisins, but not fruits or vegetables. There's no zakat on that. The third category is gold and silver and whatever falls underneath. What does fall underneath? Such as currencies, riyals, dollars, euros, whatever. Then finally, products or merchandise that are circulating, selling and buying, like a shop of groceries, of clothes, a showroom of cars, someone dealing with real estates, he sells and buys. These are all zakatable. And this is a particular percentage. Every lunar year, you calculate and you give 2.5% on some of these items and other more, maybe more, or differently, and Allah knows best. Latifa says, if I understood her question correctly, she's saying about selling a jacket to someone who may not wear hijab, etc. There's nothing wrong in selling clothes to people that you're not 100% certain that they will wear it outside without hijab. Otherwise, we would have closed all shops that sell clothes. We don't know the women who are buying it will be abiding by hijab or not. Selling clothes is halal. Using that particular piece of cloth in something haram or halal, this depends on the one who buys it. Likewise, if I have water, I'm a supermarket, I wouldn't investigate, what do you want this bottle of water for? Excuse me? What are you buying it for? Maybe you're going to make ice cubes so that you can drink with your whiskey. This guy's nuts. This is none of your responsibility. Selling bottled water, is it halal or haram? Halal, khalas. What he does with it is his problem. Mahfoud says, we don't have i'tikaf due to the closure of masjids. Can we do it home? The answer is no. I'tikaf can only be performed in a full-fledged masjid. It cannot be performed in a prayer hall or a musalla or surwat, I think you guys, surwara, or I don't know, I've lost the language. So this is not permissible except in a full-fledged masjid. If it's closed, then Allah will give you intention, reward according to your intention, inshallah. Zain says, there is some of those Islamic thinkers, as they say, who, whenever they see a beautiful woman, they tell you, you may look at her and enjoy the beauty that Allah has created and say, subhanallah, and you will be rewarded. Lowering the gaze is only for those whom, when they see such a woman, their knees start to shiver and shake, and they start to drool, and their heartbeat races. This is haram for them. Akhi, don't pay attention to someone who's not a scholar. This gentleman, may Allah have mercy on his soul, was an atheist. And for many, many years, he came back to Islam, thinking of Islam in a positive way, but in his Sufi way as well. And he wrote many books that had some good and a lot of bad. He's dead. He died like 25 years ago, 20 years ago or so. Why dig up his archive now and ask, what do you think of this? We have Quran and Sunnah. We don't care what Tom, Dick, or Harry say. So this is a waste of time to talk about the faults of those who died and bringing it up just to tarnish their name or to speak about them in a negative way, and Allah knows best. Shihab from Bangladesh, he says, you said that when the congregation is engaged in congregational dua or dhikr or etc., I should leave them. What about if I'm staying in the masjid waiting for ishraq, for the sun to rise? How can I leave the masjid and lose the reward? No, leaving them meaning to leave their circle. So if you go at the back of the masjid and remain away from them, engage in reading the Quran, doing your dhikr, this is okay, nothing wrong about that. Abu Hafs from Bangladesh, he says, in our masjid, we have a predicament. The imam prays the Isha and maybe few rak'ahs, and then the muadzin comes and prays the witr in the Hanafi way. And after midnight, the imam comes to continue night prayer with tahajjud and prays the witr three rak'ahs in the right Sunni way. What to do? What they're doing is totally wrong. Because whoever leads the prayer in the masjid, they're all considered to be as one. So it doesn't matter if three imams pray at the same night, dividing the prayers between them, because at the end of the day, they're all considered to be as one single imam, the imam of the masjid. And this is why in Haram, in Mecca or Medina, you have two imams. And they're all considered to be as if one imam. In order to gain the reward, you can't pray 10 rak'ahs with the first imam and leave. And you cannot come at the middle of the prayer and pray the remaining 13 rak'ahs with the second imam and consider to yourself to have prayed the whole night. No, you haven't. You have to pray the whole 23. So what the people are doing is totally wrong and confusing. And I would recommend that you pray in the beginning. When the imam prays the three rak'ahs of his witr, the muadzin, that is, that you stand up for a fourth rak'ah to conclude your night prayer without offering witr, and then you continue with the imam. But you have to advise him if you can advise him. Saeed from Qatar says, I've seen people making madmada, rinsing their mouth with different scoops, then rinsing their noses with different scoops. And I've seen others rinsing the mouth and the nose in one scoop. Which one is correct and according to the sunnah? The latter. The sunnah is to get the water, put half of it in your mouth, and sniff the other half and blow your nose. So one scoop for both. Some people might find this difficult. There's no problem in separating them, and Allah knows best. Abdulaziz from the UK, he says, when will you start live conferences and when you will come to the UK? I don't know if I'm ever going to come back to the UK until I am granted a visa, which at the moment I was denied twice. So most likely I would not ever come to the UK for da'wah until they clarify why am I denied visa, because when we went to the Home Office, they said, you have nothing against you, alhamdulillah. So it's the visa office that is blocking it. I'm not going. I don't need to, with the grace of Allah. But to other countries, and as soon as on the 17th of May of this month, inshallah, the ban is uplifted, we will be free to travel, inshallah, to places where it is safe, and hopefully that I will be able to announce this on my Facebook, on Twitter, and you'll know about that, bi-idhnillah. Finally, Omar from the U.S. says, how do I become more patient? Akhi, patience and tolerance is not an injection that you can take or a pill that you can swallow. It is something that you have to condition yourself. إنما العلم بالتعلم والحلم بالتحلم. The Prophet says, "Assalam, learning knowledge is by learning it, and being forbearing is by conditioning yourself to be forbearing. And whoever teaches himself to become patient, Allah would make him patient." So it is a state of mind. When you are like a helicopter view, looking at those under you with compassion and forgiveness, when you learn how to pardon, when you learn how to look the other way, not every single word someone says to me is, "What did you say? What did you mean?" No. You cannot live like this. Your wife would not stand living with you. Your children would not bear being with you. Sometimes you hear something and just shrug your shoulders and look the other way as if you did not hear it. How to become patient? When you learn and remember that you also have your own flaws and your own shortcomings and mistakes. And definitely you would not like others to be impatient towards you for your shortcomings and flaws. So likewise, try to overlook people's mistakes and try to have always the upper hand by forgiving and expanding your chest to accept people's mistakes. And this, inshallah, would make you a better person, and Allah knows best. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, I leave you fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وللله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في